So today, it's interesting. It's a special day in the life of our church. It's our first birthday. It's also the third birthday of Evelyn Grace. We have a picture of her, our second born, Evelyn. She is not here today because she's at home battling a cold slash flu. Grandma Cop, who works in kids every single Sunday, got her my third birthday badge, wanted to pin it on her. I'm going to take it home and pin it on her. But Evelyn, we took that picture, obviously, at Christmas time a couple months ago. We were supposed to have her party yesterday over our house, but we canceled it. We canceled pretty much all of our appointments this week because the whole family, they had like 103-point-something fevers, Faith and Evelyn. Elizabeth, our baby's been, God has protected her. I've been battling something. So if you're an intercessory prayer person, please just be praying for me that my voice remains strong. But Evelyn, it's awesome. We got to sing her happy birthday, Mom and Dad, today. And I can't wait to go home. And I don't know what we're going to do to celebrate it because we're not feeling all that great, but it's still going to be a good birthday. So one other just fun point. I don't know who it was that brought up. A year ago when we launched, actually the 20th, tomorrow, is our actual anniversary date. If you remember, that was like the winter storm of 2011. We got bombed with 10 inches of snow. Our church was at night. We were meeting at Heritage Church at the time, and God bless them for offering their facility to us. But it started snowing at like the exact horrible Satan-induced time, and I'm not joking about that. At like 4 p.m., our church was at 6, got 10 inches of snow. Like, I probably wouldn't have come if I wasn't preaching that day. So it is just really cool to be here a year later and to see who God's drawn in. We have a gift for you. First of all, there's cake out there and all that. But our gift to you, and this is like a custom now, if you have a birthday party, I don't know if you know this, but you have to buy gifts now for everybody who comes to your party. It's kind of like backwards. We have a gift. It's Experiencing Lent. I'm going to be talking a lot about Lent today. This is a handout. As you walk out, the ushers will give you a copy, one per person. It's cool. If you want to take two, it's all good, too. They're at the Welcome Center if you want to grab one. But this is it's a 15-page handout that I put together that will help us experience Lent as a church, as a family, and that truly is our gift to you. So please make sure you grab a copy, and we're going to dive into the sermon right now. But before we do, I would love to just pray for our time today and just commit this time to Jesus. So if you want to bow your heads and close your eyes, let me pray to God. Jesus, thank you that this local expression of your body has a birthday today, an anniversary today. May you get the glory for it. Thanks for all the folks who line the stage, the volunteer team, the ones who lead, people who just sacrifice themselves for this church so much. On the weekends, during the week, leading small groups, just all that they do. The human reason why this church exists is because of them. But we know that this is not just a human thing, this is a divine thing, Jesus, that this is your church and you're building it. I pray for, God, the sermon at this moment. May you fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray for a fresh gift of teaching at this moment. I pray for a strong voice. I pray that we don't simply go to church today. We experience you, the manifest presence of the living God that you just descend on this place. Thanks, Jesus. Amen. All right, so if you were born and raised in the Catholic Church like I was, you know this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. Kicks off Lent, a 40-day period of time to prepare ourselves for Good Friday and Easter. Now, as a Catholic growing up, Lent was a big deal for us, my mom, my dad, my brother, for two primary reasons as I was thinking through what Lent was. First of all, on the church calendar, and there's a church calendar that certain churches and denominations follow more closely than others, you have two major seasons in the church calendar. You have Advent, which is the 4 weeks prior to Christmas, and then you have the 40 days prior to Easter, which is Lent. As I was processing through my thoughts of my childhood of growing up with Lent, I remember there was two distinct things that reminded me of Lent. The first was this, is that you couldn't, like, it was the 11th commandment, thou shalt not eat meat on Fridays. Now, who was like that? Couldn't eat meat on Fridays. Hands up. You could not eat meat on Fridays. That's the first thing. I went to Fraser High School. I was a rambler, and I remember I always packed a lunch, so there was no meat, but I had friends, and I remember this, at the lunch table. They'd order pepperoni pizza, and if you're a Catholic, you take the pepperonis off of the pizza. It's just what you had to do. We went to the fish fry St. Blaise, had the best fish around off of a 15-mile in Dodge Park, and it was a pretty cool tradition, honestly, because it set you apart from the rest of the culture, which is really what it means to be a Christian in many ways, right? So the first thing I remember is thou shalt not eat meat on Fridays. And then the other thing I remember was you had to fast or give up something for Lent. A few of the years, we decided as a family to turn off the TV one night per week. So the first week of Lent, it was okay, can't watch TV on a Sunday. And this was like pre-VCR and DVR days. So it's not like you could cheat now and say, okay, I'm fasting from TV, I'm just going to load my DVR up and watch everything double. You had to sacrifice and just turn off the TV. I remember one of the years, maybe a couple of them, we turned off the TV, and I'm going to talk a lot about this with fasting. You don't just not do something, you do something that's placed. Children's Bible. This was actually Kelly's growing up. We had the exact same one in our home, and we would read stories from the Bible and talk about them as a family. Turn off the TV, read the Bible. That's a good thing to do. And I remember doing that, and I found this. I'm like, this was the Bible right there. Children's Bible. So I remember doing that, and it was pretty cool. It made sure that Good Friday and Easter did not sneak up on us because, right, those days shift. It's like, when's Easter this year? You know, I don't know. You know when Christmas is, but Easter shifts. So it's easy to go, oh, man, that's next week. So I was born and raised in the Catholic Church, just 10-second version, became an atheist for 5 years, agnostic. My parents weren't happy about that. Got invited to Kensington Church and started attending a couple other churches that were in the Protestant side of the family tree for Christianity. And a lot of those churches did not really talk about Lent all that much, didn't talk about fasting all that much. Lent wasn't really this thing that was talked about oftentimes outside of the other churches that I went to. So Good Friday and Easter would kind of sneak up on me. Those 2 days would come and go before I kind of realized it. So my hope and prayer just for us as this church is that doesn't happen to any of us. That does not happen. But these 2 days, right, two of the most significant days in the history of the planet as a Christian, right? Christ died for our sins. He rose from the dead. He conquered death. That we don't just kind of like, hey, that's this Sunday, you know, but we are prepared for that. We reflect. We take this time to set ourselves apart even more from the culture than we typically do. That we spend some time, we say, I'm going to take my spiritual journey more seriously than I have. This is a focused time for me. Because, see, Lent is not just a Catholic thing. It's a Christian thing. There's a lot of different denominations that observe Lent. A lot of Protestant churches do. Our church is going to. Lent has been practiced for about 1,600 years. The earliest church fathers said, hey, we need to focus. And if that was true for them back then, the craziness of the culture, we need to focus, I'd say, that much more on this time. Let's not treat Easter and Good Friday as speed bumps, just to slow down enough maybe to go to church twice in 3 days, but to really set ourselves apart. So I pray that my sermon today, titled Ash Sunday, will prepare us for Lent, and that that handout, the Experiencing Lent handout, would just take you on this journey. So we do what we do every single week, teach the Bible, going through the Gospel of Matthew one story at a time. We start in chapter 1 a year ago. Chapter 1, verse 1 on February 20th. We are now up to chapter 9, verse 14, and we're going to look at that. A huge component of Lent, by the way, is fasting, giving up something, and that's what today's passage focuses on. So I'm going to read the entire passage to you, and then we're going to pick it apart a few verses at a time. So here we go. Here's where we're at. Matthew 9, verse 14 through 17. John's disciples came to Jesus and asked, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Well, Jesus answered, he said, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast. He says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. Both are preserved. So that frames where we're headed today. Do what I do every single week, explain what the text originally meant, and then fast forward to today. And I'm going to fast forward and focus a lot of our time today on the application. So let's take a look. Verse 14. John's disciples, John the Baptist, they come to Jesus and they ask him, they say, hey, and they're not being irreverent here, they have a question. How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Something that is kind of implicit in the text. Fasting is a regular part of what it means to be a believer in God. See, throughout the Bible, people fasted. It was like praying. It was like reading the scriptures. It was just something that you did. Now, let me hit the pause button for a moment, because for some folks, if you haven't gone to church in a while, talking about fasting, this is going to be a brand new concept for you. You might not even be aware of what we're talking about yet, the word. What does it mean, fast? For others of you, if maybe you're more church-going folks, you've gone to church for your entire lives, you might be like, oh yeah, I got that, been there, done that. My question is, are you doing what you know? Fasting's been a huge component on my spiritual journey, but I realized as I was working on the sermon, I don't have a lot of current illustrations to share. Going, man, like when I fasted 2 weeks ago, be like, I fasted a few months ago. I need to get back on this horse and ride it. So I just pray that God gives you ears to hear in a fresh way about this topic, if that's you. Okay, time in. Here we go. So it was something that you did. You're a follower of God. You're a believer in God. You fasted. So the disciples of John the Baptist approach Jesus and say, hey, the Pharisees, right, they believe in God, and we believe in God, and we fast. Well, why don't your disciples? Well, Jesus answers in a very intriguing way, which he does often, the master teacher, God in the flesh. Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast. There's a lot of theology in here. See, what's going on here, the bridegroom is Jesus. He's talking about himself there. And what he's saying is that while he's walking the earth, his closest followers, his group, his guys, it would be like this. They're basically, he's inviting them to like a wedding reception at Cherry Creek or Penna's or Palazzo Grande, right? And it's not just like a one-night deal. It's like a multi-year deal. He's saying, when you get invited to a reception, a wedding, you eat, you feast. It's a celebration. He's saying, that's what this is. This is a party right now. The bridegroom, Jesus is saying, he says, I'm on this earth. So they're not going to mourn. They're not going to fast. They're going to feast. But then he says something really interesting, and this is something that we ignore. If you bring your Bible, and I'd encourage you to do that, these last four words are important. We act like they're not in the scriptures. He's saying, okay, when I am crucified, I rise and I ascend to heaven. The bridegroom, that's him, will be taken from them. He's going to leave and go back to heaven, right, to be seated at the right hand of the Father. He says, then they will fast. Guess what? We're part of that then. Then they will fast. If you have a Bible, I'd circle that phrase. Then they will fast. We're part of that time, that then. Jesus assumes that his followers are going to fast. It's going to be an activity they engage in. Jesus does not say, after the bridegroom leaves, some of them are going to choose every once in a while to fast if they want to, but maybe, maybe not. It's kind of iffy. He says, no, then they will fast. And we often think that those words aren't in the scripture. See, according to Jesus, fasting is not an option. You say, well, why? It's not because Jesus wants you to be hungry and irritable. It's because he wants you to tame your flesh. I'm going to share a few reasons just briefly. I could preach a whole sermon on three reasons why fasting. I'm just going to focus and then dive into the main content. But why fasting? Again, maybe this is new for you, but maybe it's not. Regardless, these are points that I think we often forget. Fasting, number one, fasting trains you to say no to your flesh. See, our flesh screams all day long. We ingest things, we consume things through our senses, through things we take in through our eyes, our ears, our mouths, our thoughts, through our skin. And usually the way it works as a human being is we say yes to everything. Something we see, we desire, immediate yes. We're Americans, right? Burger King, your way, right away. We say yes to everything, even things that aren't necessarily good for us. We ingest, we consume things like gossip, envy, gluttony, anger, lust, judgment. So fasting from food or something else, trains us to say no to our flesh so that we can say no to saying other things when they cross our paths. Job 31:1. Job says this. This is a powerful verse, especially for men. He says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look, what? Lustfully at a young woman. So you can decree that. You can declare that before God on your face. But if you simply try really, really hard not to do that, you'll fail. That's where fasting comes into play. It trains you to say no to the desires of your flesh. I could preach a lot on that, but that's all I'll say. Fasting trains you to say no to your flesh. Second, fasting brings spiritual breakthrough. over and over again in the Bible, if people really, the people of God really wanted God to move, they really wanted something to happen, they would pray, but they would also fast. Those two were combined. They were united. And when they prayed and fasted, things happened that wouldn't have happened otherwise. Daniel 9:3, you can read this as your homework, the whole chapter. I'm not going to give you the context, but just the point. Daniel says, so I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. Not just prayer, prayer and fasting. God moved in mighty ways as a result. I love Daniel 9. I love Daniel 10. That's why I'm named Daniel. That book of the Bible. I love that book. Now, we don't understand exactly how this works, the mechanics of it. But we simply know that it does. We know somehow that fasting amplifies our prayer life. So that's the second point. Again, I could preach a whole sermon on that. Maybe one day I will, but for now let's go to point three. Fasting allows us to become hungrier for God. This is huge. It's a quote that I'm going to read to you from John Piper. This is your pastor's pick for this week in the East Sider every week. We have a pastor's pick. I'm a book guy. I love recommending books. It's on the back of your program as well. Here's what John Piper writes in his book, Hunger for God. I love this quote. He says, desire for other things, there's the enemy. The only weapon that's going to triumph is a deeper hunger for God. He says the weakness of our hunger for God is not because he's unsavory, but because we keep ourselves stuffed with, quote, other things. Perhaps then, he says, the denial of our stomach's appetite for food might express or even increase our soul's appetite for God. Love that quote. Love that quote. He's saying, right, we consume other things, so there's not room then for God. God gets pushed to the margins. So when we fast, our soul's appetite for God increases. I love that quote. So again, just three reasons, just briefly, why fasting. I'd encourage you to pick up a book, one of the books on the list on the back of your program to dig deeper into why fasting. But now I want to focus on the application of it, the so what of it. So again, in our passage today, 9:15, Jesus says, and the key phrase there for me is, then they will fast. Then they will fast, and we're part of that then. We're in that time of the then. So the question is then, how do we fast? How do we fast? And I think the answer is in the scripture here, in a cloaked way. See, when we read the verses, and this probably happened to you as I read them, the first two verses of our passage today, Jesus talks about, you know, John's disciples come, and he's saying, hey, they, like, we fast, the Pharisees fast, but your followers don't fast, and Jesus talks about how they are going to fast, and then he gets, like, ADD, right, we think, and he gets to verse 16 and 17, and he starts talking about unshrunk cloth and garments and wineskins. And you're thinking, like, okay, Jesus, you were talking about fasting, and then you just, like, switched. But Jesus, he's the master teacher. He didn't have ADD in that moment. Thank you for that amen, Loretta. At first glance, it seems like Jesus is, like just, whoa, what was that? I'm talking about fasting, I'm talking about, but he's not. He doesn't lose his train of thought. So let me explain this. Why this verse, and what does this mean? How does this apply to our lives today? In the New Testament times, if you were a pious Jew, you weren't just a Jew in name only, but you were a pious Jew. You were really focused on your faith. You would fast twice a week without fail, every Monday and every Thursday. Monday and Thursday. Every Monday, every Thursday. Not spelled out in the Bible that way. It's a man-made tradition. There's nothing wrong with that tradition, by the way. We often think like that's a bad word, the word tradition, but that was just, it was what they did, though. That was an old wineskin, if you will. And while there wasn't anything wrong with fasting a couple days a week without fail, Jesus is saying, in my movement, I'm doing something new. I'm doing something new, something that can't be contained in those old wineskins, in those old ways of thought. He is saying that I have a new way, a new wine, so to speak, to do things. This new way requires new actions, a new tradition. So you can do what you did, but don't think that's the only category. Don't think, hey, I really feel compelled to fast on Tuesdays. Doesn't count. Has to be Monday or Thursday. Jesus is expanding. He's saying, don't do that. Don't try to put this new wine, this new teaching, this old way of things. In fact, I believe as we go through time, Jesus is saying, fasting can be more than food as well. It can include food, but part of the new wineskin, part of the new way is going beyond food. To anything we ingest, anything that we consume, we can fast from. See, when we think of the word, what it means to fast in the Bible, it was exclusively in terms of food. Sometimes they fasted from drink as well, but it was always food. And I think this fast forwards and Jesus saying, hey, I have a new way. I have a new wineskin. I have new wine. So don't think, hey, it has to be on a certain day of the week or not a certain day of the week or it has to be certain foods and not certain foods. Let's pray, be guided by the Holy Spirit, and let's fast. Let's fast from things, anything we ingest, anything that we consume, anything we take in through our senses. That's part of the new wine, the new wineskin, the new way of thinking for fasting. And so what I want to do is I want to share with you a list of just a half a dozen things. Maybe the Holy Spirit's going to prompt you to fast from something else during Lent. Maybe he's going to prompt you to fast from a few of these things. Maybe at first you're going to say, I don't even understand why it would mean to what it would matter to fast from a certain things. Just hang with me. But we believe God is alive. We believe God speaks. So I just pray as I share this that the Holy Spirit's going to just touch you in your mind, and you'll know that's what I need to fast on. Then you can focus on that. And what's pretty cool is because it's not Wednesday, it's not the start of Lent, you have a few days, so don't jump into this. Say, okay, I'm going to fast from all this stuff. And then by like Ash Friday, you know, if there was, be like, I'm done. I tried for 2 days, you know. Honestly, this is something I would say to don't just blow off. Don't take in a manner that you won't follow through. So it's kind of cool. You get the handout. Now you have a few days to really process and pray. But maybe right now the Holy Spirit's going to go, here you go. So here's some things you can fast from. First one is food. Things you can fast from during Lent. The first way is food. Now, there's a few ways to do that. And again, I'm just going to talk in a brief manner about this. You could skip a meal, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You could also not eat anything for an entire day. I would say this. If you skip one meal at some time of day, you could fast maybe from that maybe once a week. If you choose to fast for like an entire day, like a 24-hour period, maybe you'll do that a couple times throughout Lent as well. Just again, maybe that's yours. Or maybe it's not all food, but maybe it's certain food, snacks, or beverages. It's your favorite thing. And this is often harder because you don't just give up all food for a day. You give up this one thing for 40 days. Take away your chocolate for 40 days, your coffee, your Pepsi, your pizza, whatever it may be. Maybe you fast from something other than food like TV. Maybe do what I did growing up. You say, okay, we're going to turn the TV off one day each week. We're not going to set the DVR and load it up. We're going to turn it off. We're going to read our Bible instead. So maybe it's TV. Maybe it's radio. Maybe it's radio. This is going to scare some of you because it's like, okay, God's telling me to fast from sports talk radio. Now, by the way, God, this is why it could scare you, right? God, I felt like, told me to do that last Lent, and he hasn't told me to stop doing it yet. So I'm like a year into it. I have not listened, and I was like a sports talk radio, like I was all over it. But I felt like God saying, you know what, Dan? There's static. There's noise. Not that there's anything bad, anything wrong with that. It's not immoral. But he's like, I want to speak to you. And God chooses most of the time to speak in a still, small voice. And when you're driving and filling your mind with like, hey, we signed Prince Fielder, and hey, who are the Pistons going to trade, and who are the Lions? You know, I'm a sports guy. I'm a guy, right? But a lot of stuff you just don't need. And guys, don't quit the church because I just said that, you know. And wives, don't like, you know, do that elbow. But it's true, like we just fill our minds with static, with white noise. And God's saying, I want to speak to you. I'm not going to shout. What's more important? So maybe it's the radio. Maybe it's the computer. And I put computer in quotation marks. It could be your Xbox, your PlayStation, your Facebook. Facebook! You know, my gosh. You guys are hardcore for Christ. And, you know, but honestly, email, internet, something. And it's interesting, right, with all this stuff. Like, these things didn't even exist a few years ago, and now it's like a couple hours a day that we're on this stuff. Now, I would say this, by the way, if email is a huge component of your work, don't fast from it and get fired and go, hey, I'm just following the Lord, you know? But maybe it's only work email. Or, you know, you guys know how to do it. Whatever you fast from, this is what's important. This is oftentimes, when I grew up, I'm like, okay, fasting, say, from chocolate. Okay, Jesus, like, died on a cross for your sins. So what is fasting from chocolate? Like, Lord, I'm really sacrificing from you, not having any Mars bars for the next 40 days. You know, kind of a little bit of a differentiation there, a little discrepancy there. That's not the point of fasting. It's not just what you give up. It's what you do in place of what you give up. Let me say that again. It's not just what you're giving up. Again, what you give up, you can tame your flesh. You can say no. Fasting brings breakthrough in the spiritual realm. Fasting gives you a greater desire for God, right? It's not just, however, what you give up. I would say even more important, it's what you are doing in place of what you give up. So here's what I mean. This is where the application is tight in its focus. See, whatever you decide to fast from, and again, this is between you and the Lord. This is not like, okay, Eastside Vineyard, Mondays and Thursdays, we're all fasting. I'm going to be the fasting police. I'm going to drive by your work. I'm going to smell your breath. Did you have a French fry today? We're not going to do that. By the way, that's not in my notes. It just kind of came out, right? Having fun. Here is why. Here's what we replace. Take the time that you would normally spend doing the activity, whether it's eating or email or whatever. Take the time you do focus on whatever that is and replace it with an activity that causes you intentionally to love God and to love others. It's the greatest commandment, right? So here's some examples. First of all, just as an example, let's say you choose to fast from, and I've used chocolate a few times, so I'll camp there. Every time during Lent that you crave chocolate, and if you're like a chocolate person, you'll think about it a lot, maybe 20, 30 times a day. Every time you think about it, here's your prayer. God, make me crave you more than I crave this. That's a good prayer. So you're thinking about, you know, pizza, chocolate, whatever. We're like big Girl Scout cookie fans at the cop house. Samoas. This box is empty, by the way, so you can't steal it. I will not tell you when we bought this box of Samoas, but it is empty at the cop house. Sooner than it probably should have been emptied. Every time, I'm like, man, these are good. They cost the same. There's not as you know, in per box. They're kind of scamming you that way, I think, nowadays, trying to cut costs. But every time you crave a Girl Scout cookie, every time you crave pizza, whatever it is, you pray, God, make me crave you more than I crave this. Maybe you pray for someone else. You have a burden on your heart. So every time your stomach growls or every time you miss whatever that thing that you're fasting from, you pray this prayer. You know this person has cancer in our congregation. God, heal that person. May your kingdom invade their body and heal them. And you pray that prayer 20, 30, 40 times a day. God, I pray someone just, man, they lost their parent. God, give them peace. God, this, I'm sure that, you know, this teenager just is battling like sexual, this lust and just our culture. God, keep them pure. So every time you crave whatever you gave up during Lent, pray for yourself, pray for somebody else. And again, if you think a lot about whatever you're fasting from, you're going to pray a lot over Lent. You'll be praying a lot more than you normally do, and I believe that there is nothing on this planet that will advance God's kingdom more than prayer. Don't ever think, hey, that prayer was only a two-second prayer. It doesn't count. Maybe God wasn't listening. He's always listening. We have no idea what happens, what gets unleashed in the spiritual realm when we pray. It could be a breath prayer for 2 seconds long. It could be on our knees for half an hour. But when we pray and we pray and we pray, imagine what's going to happen during Lent if all of us fast from something and then pray either for ourselves about the hunger for God or about someone else to be healed or fill in the blank. I think that's pretty cool. So it's not just what you're giving up, it's what you're doing in place of it. And maybe something else, if you read Isaiah chapter 58, it's in your questions, talking about the fast that God requires of us is not simply fasting for the sake of fasting, but it's fasting put our faith in action. So maybe to love God or to love others, you're saying, okay, I'm going to read my Bible as a family during Lent. Maybe I'm going to serve, which we often don't, the person that's in our house, our spouse, and do housework. That glorifies God, by the way. Maybe it's, I'm going to pray for a larger block of time. Maybe I'm going to put my faith in action. I'm going to serve the poor intentionally. Maybe I'm going to grab a coffee with someone who is kind of drifting. Maybe they're far from God, and I just want to love them. Maybe it's sitting down, turn off the TV, and playing with your kids. That advances the kingdom. Maybe it's simply being still and knowing that he is God. Just being still. See, the focus here, the key point is our time, if you're like me, and you probably are, is that if you simply remove something from your calendar and you don't intentionally fill it up with something, that time will get gobbled up real fast. And the importance, the significance, the power in the fast will get lost. It'll get stolen from you by the enemy, by the devil. And so you intentionally say, okay, I'm going to fast from this, and instead I'm going to do that. And you get that on your calendar. You put it on your mirror. You put it on your dashboard so you know here is how I'm going to be intentional in my fast. Here's how I'm going to put my faith in action as I fast. Here's how I'm going to love God more as I fast. Here's how I'm going to love others more as I fast. See, fasting is a way. Fasting, we can fast, by the way, any time of the year, but this is, again, we amp it up during Lent. It's a way of declaring to yourself and to others that you're going to take this season of preparation the way it was intended. It's a reminder to you that you are setting yourselves apart for God's purposes. It's a way of saying, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be intentional more than I typically am on my spiritual journey over the next 40 days. So my hope and prayer is that as a church that we do this and we see how God moves in and through us between now and Easter Sunday, that over the next 40 days that God transforms us to a deeper level, that we understand how much God loves us in a way that just breaks us in a really good way. That we love God more each day in Lent than the day before. And that we love others, that we serve others, that we put our faith in action in tangible ways more than we did the day before. Imagine what that could be if you step up, okay, 22nd of February, Ash Wednesday, between now and Easter Sunday, God, I'm yours. I want that to be our prayer and our action as a church this Lent season. Let's see what God does. Let's pray. God, thank you, first of all, for keeping my voice strong, giving me passion to preach when I'm not feeling well. When I'm battling sickness, God, you are over all of that. You're king of all of that. God, I pray that during this season of Lent that we truly live differently, that we respond to you, that we fast. Then they will fast. Let's fast from whatever you call us to. Let's be intentional about that. Let's not just make a decision and then quit the following day. God, give us perseverance, give us tenacity, give us passion. Transform us, God. Prepare us for Good Friday and Easter so that when we experience those 2 days, we are ready for them. We can celebrate them. Thanks, Jesus. Amen.